I thought today I was going to talk about tefillah. That was really what was on my mind for the last few days. But on a last-minute switch, we decided we're not really... There's a lot of excitement here. When I see Shomani, I also get excited. So I don't blame any one of you. But you know, like Eddie, I'm going to break your phone. That's on recording. I'm going to break your phone. Don't need a tissue if this phone is broken. Yeah, it's recording. So, but I decided at the end not to, mainly for the reason, like, you just watch Siman Tov during Mincha, and you realize, like, tefillah is not what this Olam needs. You know, he represents the whole Chevron, and since you guys daven with so much Ema, and Yira, and Kavana, some of you even say the word, some of you even show up. Not yesterday at Mincha. I don't even know if we had a minion yesterday, but, you know, in general, you know, we have pretty good attendance. From this Olam. So I decided, you know, we're gonna change on the fly. So I wanted to talk a little bit about an idea which is going to be very, very important as the end is here. It's not like when you say Hanukkah time, like the year will be over. Like now, it's like really over. Let's call it how it is. There's not a full week left of yeshiva. Yeshiva is basically, at least for those of you that this will be your only year in yeshiva. Yeshiva is basically over. So it's time to prepare for after yeshiva life, which often gets ignored. It's like, oh, we'll only focus on now. But you know, I'll tell a mushroom. Like, you know, every day you go to yeshiva, like you're talking about certain things. And I went back. It's either Pesach or the summer when I went back after Shana Aleph. And I go to like, you know, you see like an old friend who's like basically like wearing nothing. And, you know, you're younger. He wants to give you a hug. And you're kind of like, okay. Maybe yes, maybe no. We'll tell after what I did. But, you know, you're not really like prepared. Like, what are you supposed to do in like those kind of situations that are going to come up? And since, you know, we've gotten to the point that yeshiva's over, we have to start talking about what's in those opportunities. I'm not about to, you know, that might be a different week. And I'm going to have to just, every share is going to be basically based off like what Siman Tov is doing during the week. So we'll have to see how chazak he is, and we'll know what topics, you know, we need to be dabbling into. But that's not what we're about to, we're not going to talk about like when Posner gets back in a couple of months and still won't know what he's doing for the summer, and Brittany's going to want to give him a hug. We're not going to talk, or worse, that's not what we're going to discuss. But we're going to discuss an opportunity that when you get home, whatever you're doing for the summer, it's about finding opportunities. It's about making the most of our time. And you know, when you get old, people like to say this line, like, I'm so, there's two lines that drive me crazy. They're like, I'm so busy, and I have 458 emails. No one really cares. Let's call it spade a spade. When you have all those emails, generally they're all spam, or you're like CC'd on a million things. So you're not so important, and you're not so busy. And even if you are so busy... Even if you are so busy, nobody really cares. So you might come back and you'll be really, really busy. Some of you might work at camps that aren't hassle because your camper is going to send you like a beautiful note at the end of the summer, and that gets you like really excited and makes you, you know, all jolly inside. Well, whatever it might be. But there's going to be opportunities in each and every one of your day to grab opportunities, and that's what's going to make the difference between what you're going to end up being. I don't know if you guys remember Mitchell Honig. He was Shana Bedith here in the army. He was here for like a few months, but when he started the army, I don't say so many memorable things, except when I'm like bashing on Aiden. I don't really say so many memorable things, but he quotes things I say, which you know, when you say things that maybe are colorful, that's not so great when you're quoted. But he would tell me all the time when I said this last year, he would quote me the entire summer. And when he started the army, he had like a little bit of downtime, and he took a picture of him on the base, like learning chumash. And he's like, you know, I grabbed the opportunity. I had a few extra minutes, and I was able, and I opened up my chumash or mishayis, whatever it was, and I was able to make the most of that opportunity. And that's what your summer and what the rest of your life is going to be. It's about making the most of opportunity. And throughout the day. We have tons and tons of time where we could chap. You know, when I went to YU, there was a thing called Night Seder. It was a little different than maybe like Night Seder that you guys are accustomed to hear. People went. And it was 2 hours. I know, so long. And we had college classes. You know, it was like really, really crazy. And there were like 500-600 people doing it every night. I know it's like a very, very hard thing to do. And even sometimes when a person had a cough, they actually made it and didn't have to spend 3 days, you know, watching The Office in their bed. I know these are concepts that are, like, these are, like, deep. Like, these are the kind of things, like, we need Rav Usher and Rav Uri here for, because they're such deep ideas. Like, it's so hard to grapple with. But, I, you know, but Night Theater was 8 to 10. And I took that consistently, L'chomer and L'mekel. So we had a teacher once. Sometimes you have classes 6:45 to 8. And this guy, you know, this guy was like a chacham. So what would he do? He would take attendance at the beginning of class. So what would happen? You'd come at the beginning of class he would say, Merrill here. And at 7 o'clock, I would leave and, you know, class is over and I was technically there. So he realized as time went on, a lot of people were doing this shtick. So he pulled a real, real curveball on us. He started doing attendance at the end of class, which then meant if I was there from 6:45 to 7:59, I left. It means I sat through an hour and a 14-minute class and was not even acknowledged that I was there. It was a real chacham. And sometimes he even went over 8 o'clock and then did attendance. My name doesn't start with Z. I'm not Zarni. But Merrill's in the middle, so you had to wait a little bit. And I was a little bit of a chutzpah then. I'm still a chutzpah now, but I probably wouldn't do this today. And when he was doing attendance, like 8:05, I told him, I just want you to know, you're doing, it's like bittul Torah barabim what you're doing. It's not right. People here learn. You know, we're in a yeshiva. We're expected to learn. And, like, you're not letting us for this fakakan attendance thing. It wasn't so polite to do that. But I took it. I took night there with 8 to 10. So if I couldn't be there by 8 o'clock, someone was doing something wrong. On the flip side, I learned in my time in college, having a class that went till 8, just wasn't smart because, one, like, I was exhausted. And, two, you could have problems like this happening. You know, so it's sort of like having a teacher who doesn't wear any clothes to class. You got to avoid that. And you have to have classes that don't want you to learn either. You have to avoid that. So when my first semester in YU, I was what's like the baseball type? We see all the stats. I've done a while.
Box score?
No, not box score. You, like, look somebody up. Whatever it is. You know, I haven't followed baseball in a couple of years, and I've forgotten things. But I was an avid fan of this. So I didn't have class. So for like every night from like 7 to 7:58, I would be like looking up stats. Like I knew like Barry Bonds' OPS plus better than like I knew my birthday. Like I was really
Sabermetrics?
No. This is fine. It doesn't make sense. I was like really, really, really holding by it. And I never, ever got to Night Theater before 8 because it only started at 8. And then, you know, like around Thanksgiving time, I had like an epiphany and I'm like, you know, Mark, you're just an idiot. Like, you're not doing anything. Like, if you're doing something, do something. Like, you know, if you're delivering, like, you know, food to like the poor families in Washington Heights, call Kavod. Or like, you know, you're, whatever. If you're doing something productive, fine. But, like, you're doing nothing. You might as well start going there earlier. And my eyes were open. My eyes were open to the opportunity that sometimes we think that we only have an X amount of time or we can only do X amount of things. But really, 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 we can do Y amount of things, even when we are really tired, even when we are doing, you know, whatever it is that we're doing. There's a lot of opportunities. So as you can see, I was both the Mekel and Machmir by 8 o'clock. I'm gonna say a few stories about inspirational moments about stealing time. And then, like, next year when Shulman's still trying to figure out what college or if he's transferred yet, he's going to send me a WhatsApp, like, November time, and he's like, you know, I had, like, 6 minutes today, and I thought about, you know, looking at, like, you know, those, like, inappropriate things you told me I'm not allowed to look at on my phone. But I decided, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to crack out a Mishnah, and I did two Mishnayas, and I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be crying with joy, and it'll mamash only be from that. So Rav Victor Nevinsel, he's a Rebbe in a Tivaria, he's in the rub of the old city, whatever, and he's a massive, massive, massive goat. Massive, massive Talmud Chacham. He, like all of our Gedolim, Clevelander will be saying this also in a few years, like all of our Gedolim, he finished Shas every year. Okay, he finished Shas, not a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal, but like when you start doing things regularly, like when Posner comes to Shachars, we're not like, oh, it's a big deal. He does it regularly, it's not such a big deal. So Nevinsel finished Shas, I don't know, what do you want to say? Amos, we'll say he finished in November, okay? He finished Shas. And then Gimel Kislev, 2 weeks later, he tells the Shamish, you know, it was Gersh's uncle, he tells Gersh's uncle, why don't you gather the Chever together? It wasn't really Gersh's uncle. He's like, gather the Chever together, I'm making a Siyam of Shas. And Gersh's uncle's like, whoa, I knew you were good, but, you know, dude, you made a Siyam of Shas like 2 weeks ago. He probably didn't say dude. But he's like, wow, you're making another Siyam of Shas. Like, just gather the Chevra. Throlovich was like beyond confused. He can't figure out how to open the water bottle or what's going on in the Maisa. So The Chevra comes in to see him at Shas, and Rav Nevinson says, you're probably all wondering, what are we doing here? We were just here 2 weeks ago. I know your time is, like, valuable. Like, I don't have to impress you that I know a lot of Torah. Like, come on. You already know that. So Rav Nevinson says, what's his Siyam Shas on? His Siyam took me 20-plus years. Because what happened? Simon, have you ever get a slice of pizza? You ever get a slice of pizza in Israel? You ever notice that it takes like 10 times longer to get a slice here than America while they have all the slices ready, but they can't give you those? Oh my God, it's so frustrating. But you go to get like last year before Pesach, I have a shawarma place and a pizza store like close to my house, like I'm like a minute away from each other. I went to order like a pie of pizza. I was the only person there, and it took me like 45 minutes. I went to go get three shawarma lapas, and there were 35 people in the store. And like 10 minutes later, I had the shawarma lapa, and I was still waiting for the pizza for another half hour. Whatever, it takes a long time. So Rav Nevinson said he wasn't like Simon Tov. Rav Nevinson didn't have the best mouth when he was getting the pizza, and he had to wait like 10 minutes, and he would crack out the Gemara. And you know what happened? He would come to the wedding. So when Shulman goes to the wedding, he's trying to find the lamb chops. He's trying to find the carving station. Rav Nevinson said, we have 4 extra minutes here. Why don't I crack open the Gemara? You know, they're waiting to start Mincha. I know, it's like crazy. If we're at Mincha, getting to Mincha early is like a crazy thing. We don't want to go out of our comfort zone. Like that's like asking too much. That would almost be like asking to be Shomer Negiah. But Rav Nevinson would sometimes be at Mincha early. You know what he would do? He would crack open his Gemara. And 20 years later, every time he found a few minutes, he was able to accomplish something great. He was able to finish Shas again. And it'll probably take each of you more than 20 years if you do a few minutes. But with a few minutes here, a few minutes there, and you put your life in perspective, and you're like, wow, I have a lot of free time. I have a lot of time I waste. And I'm not saying don't waste time. Do other things. Watch Netflix. Watch sports. Do whatever you're doing. But be like honest with yourself. Watch the Marlins. Whatever, or the Magic or the Heat or whatever gets you going. You're allowed to do those things, but be honest with yourself on how much time you truly are wasting. Story number one. Okay, we have to we're gonna go down from greatness, although the next person is a Talmud Chacham in his own right, Rav Ari Zatz. He's a Rebbe in YU. He's assistant rabbi of B'nai Yeshurun in Tinek. He's also my brother's childhood best friend. Zach went to Moresh HaKol when he was younger. I don't know if any of you have ever been to Moresh or Moresh HaKol. But Moresh HaKol, like the high school kids, are slightly different than like Shir Dal and Shir Hay of Leva Torah. It's like a very, very serious place. As a friend of mine once told me, you go to Moresh HaKol, it's like the sewer of having your top buttoned. Like, that's what you feel like. It's just, like, everyone's like really, really intense. Like, there's not so much relaxation. And it happens to be, you're all very lucky. Boaz doesn't have the longest mincha in the world. But sometimes you could go to a place and the person they wait for can have a really, really long mincha. Like imagine if you had to wait 11 minutes every day for Chazaras HaShas. That would be like, I don't know what we would start doing, but there would be, we'd have to find something to give ourselves pain, because that would be painful. So at Moresh HaKol, they had a pretty long silent Shmon Esrei. So Rabbi Zatz, during Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv, every single day, while waiting for them to start Chazaras HaShas and Kaddish for Maariv, he whipped open a Moed Katan, which is a 27-28 daf, and he finished Moed Katan during the entire year, during that entire summer, the 2 months of all the, the 4 minutes of Shacharis, the 4 minutes of Mincha and Maariv, 12 to 15 minutes a day, he was able to accomplish a lot. Back then, there wasn't such temptations, because, you didn't have phones back when he was in Moresh HaKol. But, just think about, don't do anything. When you finish Shmoneh Esrei, look around the room and just see involvement of what's happening. And you can look around. Let's say there's 100 people in the minion, and 50 of them for 4 minutes are looking at their phone. Just imagine how much can be accomplished. And if you're that person, if you just say, for 4 minutes, I'm pretty sure. And you guys can call me on it. If you got a WhatsApp during Mincha time that if you didn't answer, like someone died about it, tell me, Mark, you killed someone. And I'm willing to take that on me. I'm willing to take that risk. I'm willing to take the risk. When there was someone I was diving yesterday, when, Jamali Kamali Lamali, whatever, was WhatsApping him about utter nonsense because it kept flashing. I was diving in front of it. I don't think his life would have been changed by knowing what Jamali had to say about, whatever's going on in Midrash Torah Avoda. I don't even know if that's a seminary or a place or a name. But, it's irrelevant. It doesn't really make a difference. But if it's life and death, and it costs someone their life, call me out on it. But I'm willing to take that risk. I feel pretty confident that nobody's gonna die. Number three. Story number three. This guy lives near me. He's a worker. He works. He learns a little bit every day. But he works. He's a big worker. I'm not a big worker. I don't know. He works for a living. So he made a siyum hashas a couple of months ago. I don't remember. Maybe in the summer I wasn't here. So he sent me his notes. And he was talking about a lot of the milas of finishing Mishnayos shas. Now you guys are also, you say you're unlucky about having phones, or lucky. But one of the things your generation is very lucky is learning has become so dumbed down that everything is a yomi, that it's really, really, really easy to constantly be learning, because like everything's been figured out for you. Like, and I never would have been smart enough to be like, do two Mishnayos a day. I wouldn't know that's a thing. But then all of a sudden, like, they come out, like, why doesn't everyone do it? And it becomes massive. So this guy learns two Mishnayos every day before Shacharis. And he talked about just, like, what it's able to do, like, the consistency of doing every day. And this guy also, like, for 4,000 straight days hasn't missed Fasikin. He's like a pretty consistent individual. For those of you that are wondering, that's really impressive. Like, think about anything in your life that you do 4,000 straight times. That would be pretty impressive. Okay, fine. Maybe for Yoni, he had to miss a bracha 4,000 straight times. Okay, like the rest of us, who have our struggles. Like, just imagine doing anything 4,000 straight times. That's really impressive. And just as again, that's just hopping a moment. That's coming to Shachar is 10 minutes early, and whatever amount of time early, and getting in those times of learning two Mishnayos a day. Every one of you can do it. It's not so crazy. Simon does, if you're in a Haredi yeshiva or Queens College next year, wherever you are, or YU, or Rutgers, or Albany, or the church, wherever you are next year, you have that opportunity to do two Mishnayos a day. It's not so hard. Next, story number four. Rav Jake, he's a Shana Bet Rebbe here. Maybe some of you have met him. Maybe some of you haven't. When I was in Rav Jake's shir, should we pause? No, we're going to continue. Is that okay? Yeah, okay, good. Where Jake always had this like pet peeve, like if she, can you imagine like Richard of ending in 12:55? It's hard to imagine. I would probably end like every day early. But like, Jake had his like pet peeve that like if Shear ended early, ended 12:55, that you felt, okay, we're done now. And he would always say, like, think what you can do in those 5 minutes. Anyway, like, if you just think about it, anyone who waits outside the Chadar Ochel is just an idiot. It's not opening for you anyway. It's not like if you get there early, anything is changing. And if you get there at 1, we're not talking about like bumper-to-bumper traffic. You get in and you're at your seat the same as a person who's waiting there at 12:54. You're literally accomplishing nothing by getting there 5-6 minutes early. But if every single day, whenever time ends, you say to yourself, I have 5 minutes here. Okay, we ended early. Rav Charnov gave an unbelievable shir. He even yelled. A chiddush. He even got excited. He even got animated. But he ended at 12:54. And I decided, I have 6 minutes here till lunch. I'm not going to benefit by waiting out there. I'm just going to be that guy who's waiting out there. That like everyone's like, they're not opening. And it's May. It's not like it's August. Like you're trying to figure this out. We've been here long enough. Like, it's pretty consistent what goes on. Mary's not opening up the kitchen before 1 o'clock. I don't know what goes on at dinner time, but I have to imagine it's somewhere along the same mahalach. I don't, okay, whatever the case might be. Okay, so we're just going to talk about lunch, because that's what I know. Or like pancake day, when you're cleaning, like, it's not being open, the dough is going to be open. Like, you're not really benefiting by waiting. It's doing nothing. But if you take those moments, I'm going to learn for those 5 minutes, so then next year, when you're not in yeshiva, when no one cares what you do, Shulman, they're not going to care at Rutgers what you do. The Chabad rabbi is not going to be like, I can't believe Shulman wasn't here today. It's not going to bother him. It'll bother me when you're not here. It'll bother Richard when you're not here. They're not going to care. You're only going to be successful if you care. It has to come from you. And if you decide one time you say, I have 5 minutes here, instead of doing nothing, instead of seeing what's on TikTok or tic-tac-toe or Instagram or Twitter or whatever it might be, I like to mock and make fun of these. So I do know what most of them actually are called, but I like to make fun of them. Instead of doing that, I decide I'm going to learn. I'm going to do something productive. So then next year, when no one cares, when it's all on you, there's nobody that's going to care. Apparently in Rutgers, if you bring a girl into, they actually do care. They do care. But no one's going to care if you smoke. No one's going to care if you drink. No one will care what you do. It'll all be about you. So if you don't create for yourself the next month that I care, that I'm going to go above and beyond, you're done. Last. Now we've really gone down the scale. We're getting to a personal moment of myself. Moshe Gutfreund, he was a Shana Bet guy here last year. I was having a schmooze with him in my office, and he told me he really, really likes Mishnah Berurah. He told me he really, really likes Mishnah Berurah, and he learns it every day. I'm like, oh, you know, I do also. I do Mishnah Berurah Yomi every single day. He's like, oh, what are you up to? I'm like, oh, you know, I haven't done it since my daughter was born. He's like, oh, how old is your daughter? I don't know, I told this story already. I'm like, she's 4 and a half at the time. He's like, yeah, I don't know how to break it to you. You don't really do Mishnah Berurah Yomi. I'm like, you know, Taka, that's a good point. That's a good point. I was very, very inspired by that conversation. That was a little over like a year and a half ago. Since then, basically every day, I've been able to do a daf of Mishnah Berurah, and I've gone through Chelek Beis, Chelek Vav, a bit of hay, and now I'm on Chelek Aleph. And I've been able to make very, very good progress. It's not a tooting my own horn, or a humble brag. I don't spend a lot of time on it. In fact, my allotted time for it is like I daven a little quicker than the minion. So obviously not during Chazaras HaShas because you're not allowed to learn during Chazaras HaShas. But from when I finish Sukkei Zimmer, Shema, and like waiting for them to start Shmon Esrei, like the 4 or 5 minutes of time I have, I basically do the daf then, and then like a little bit like at the end of davening, whatever I haven't finished, like another minute or two. So it's really only my time is allotted during davening. I'm not saying that's a good mahalach, and I'll even say it's on the record because my son comes with me to shul, and like I very, very machmir not to learn in front of him because I don't want him learning during davening, and I must have done it one day, but I didn't realize I was like learning before they got to Shmon Esrei, because then the next day he came with like an army of svarim, and he started learning it during that time, so I was very unhappy. So I'm not saying that I'm recommending that you find downtime during davening. No, we should probably all focus on our tefillah and not have downtime during davening. And you know, this will be another time. It's important to understand that davening is for davening and learning is for learning. But meaning the facts are still the facts, that I'm not such a holy person and this is what I do. But I find those available moments to be able to do that. Now again, I think it's better to spend that time for davening, but it certainly would be better than me taking out my phone or just looking up in the sky and doing absolutely nothing. Our days and lives are full of available and extra moments. When you leave yeshiva, when you're in the summer, like you're going to see, like, and especially when I remember my first summer back, I worked at a camp not Hess. One of the biggest mistakes I ever made in my life, not going to camp Hess. I really, really firmly hold that. After the record, I'll tell something else that would have been a big mistake, but thank God it was not. But one of the biggest mistakes I ever made was not going to camp Hess. But in any event, working at the camp was absolutely exhausting. It was mamish exhausting, and I would get home like 4:30 every day. And like, I couldn't move. Now, a lot of it, like, you come from yeshiva, you don't really move. I was here in 2005. Eating healthy was not a thing. Mr. Naaman says when we were here, my year, it was like a fourth of the amount of people they had to feed. They feed 4 times as many people now as then. He said the consumption of bread back in 2005 that was eaten in yeshiva Leva Torah is more than it's eaten today. So put that together, a fourth of the amount of people feel eating bread. Eating healthy was like not a thing. I don't know if we ever saw a salad, and everything was oily and unhealthy. Like, you know, things were not. So you do that for a whole year. You gain 35 pounds or something. You know, you can't move. Then you come back from camp, like, you're using muscle. Like Waxman, like, gets it. Like, he reads up and he exercises. Like, I didn't even know what a muscle was. You're using muscle that you hadn't imagined being used in the last year. Not that I was using so much muscles in high school, but at least I moved more and didn't eat quite as unhealthy. And all that, you're going to camp, and like, you're just zonk. Your mom is zonk. And I'm not going to say, I wasn't learning a crazy, crazy amount when I went back. But I did try to find time every single day to do something. And it defines you. And it's very, very, it's very, once you do something, once it becomes like, oh, I don't daven, I don't learn, I don't put on tefillin. I want to put on tefillin, but I don't do it. It's not sikahutra. It becomes mutter to you. It becomes a part of your life, and it's very, very hard to overcome that. You're going to be defined by what you do in a month when you get back. I happen to say this. People might say, I need a day or two to recover to sleep. Like, first of all, that's ridiculous. Second of all, that's not actually going to help you. But you come out on fire. You know, if you ever watch a Chiefs game, you'll go watch highlights of the Chiefs' first drive. It's never run, 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 punt. No. They come out looking to score a touchdown every single time. They come out looking to be aggressive every single time. They never take their foot off the pedal. And that first day when you come back, the first day when you get back, the first day, quote unquote, real life, especially for those not coming back, shun a bet. But even if you are coming back, you can lose a lot of what you accomplished during this year by being complacent when you get back. You come back on fire. And you come back looking for opportunities. Around davening would always be a good time to look for those opportunities. But coming back, looking for opportunities, whatever that opportunity is going to be, but I'm going to chop something. My life is going to be productive because I want it to be real. Of course, like you don't want to do anything. Like you know, this is like really pointless. And you know, I've had a lot of thoughts recently. You know, if you don't really have any interest in like religion and yeshiva, but you still come to everything, I give you credit in the sense that. Anyone who's here for the whole year and just sleeping in their dorms the whole year is not right for your parents. Yeshiva costs a lot of money, and it's not exactly like the most. It's not the nicest thing to do to like just be like watching Netflix. To have your parents pay $30,000 for you to watch Netflix on a dorm is probably worse Wi-Fi than you would have at home. But I get that a little more than like showing up, but like having no interest. So assuming that everybody here has some interest of wanting to be the best they can. We're gonna talk about life lessons. Hopefully, you know, every week moving forward. Whatever, you know, again, as I said, whatever Simon Tov is giving, whatever I'm seeing through him. You know, it's like in Harry Potter where they can read other people's minds. Like you know, whatever. It is. You have to come through in the clutch. But that's like this is super super important. Finding those opportunities and realizing how many of those they are, and you'll be different. You'll be different people. When you're making the most of those times, and you're gonna notice it. You're gonna notice that wow, I have a desire for something, and it doesn't mean that it'll get easy. But the more you're doing, you know, it just becomes a part of you. And they say all the time, you know, it's not. I can't relate too much to going to bed at 3 a.m. Although we've had Beis Yaakov girls a few times for Shabbos. That's like a culture there. I don't know if it's as much a culture in Levi Torah. Like, going to bed at like 3 is like really, really normal there. Like 1:30 is like super, super early. I can't connect on that on any level. I don't really get that. And I can't connect so much to waking up crazy late either. But you know, but really, what happens is like everything. Like once you start waking up, once you start doing things, it's not as hard. Even if you think about like where you all were in August, whatever you are today, but where you were in August, like you know, the thought of like. You know, just talking like 3 siddurim a day, like you know, a full day of yeshiva is like insane. Like you know, when you thought about like when I went to school, everyone went to school, like, and 4, 5, 6, whenever you end, you get home and your day is over. Like here, like then you have a thing called night there, and you have chabura. I have to listen to more. Like this is brutal. Okay, you know, 9, 10 in the morning, and you know, I could go with it. 9, 10 o'clock at night, you out of your mind? You out of your mind? And I'm not saying it's easy today. But it's definitely easier than it was in August, assuming that you do it. If you haven't done it, then, yeah, nothing gets easier, you know, when you don't do it. But when you do it, it gets easier. But I see Avoda. Find the time prep. Find those opportunities. You'll be a different person. And then you'll realize the emes, so you have to be back here next year, which you already realize. You just have to actualize that.